Today on The Journey.
You're God's masterpiece. He is putting every color, every part, every piece together. Good works prepared in advance for you to do. He is painting you a wonderful life.
Believers are a divine poem and painting, created for a world desperate to hear beautiful words and longing to see God's handiwork. Today, Ron Moore describes that masterpiece and urges you to live in its light. Before that, please note our offer of Ron's book, Journey Through the Bible. Its 371 pages will lead you on a one-year sojourn from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. Journey Through the Bible is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, "'Twas the Day After Christmas, on The Journey."
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 10. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, if you know Him as Lord and Savior, these are words to you. Paul says, "'For we are God's workmanship.'" We have been created in Christ Jesus. And we have been created in Christ Jesus for a reason, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want us to work our way through this passage. And I want us to see the intimate, hands-on relationship that God has with every one of His children. I want us to see how specifically God is at work in our life. That there are no accidents. That there are no afterthoughts. That God never wastes our time. So let's just work our way through this verse. First of all, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship." The word translated workmanship there from the Greek is the word poema. We get our English word poem from it. It means what is made, literally, the work of one's hand. A beautiful piece of art would be a poema, or a moving piece of literature, a poema, or a finely designed or crafted piece of furniture or a vase. It's an example of craftsmanship and artistry and care, poema. But the workmanship Paul is speaking about here is not regarding some inanimate object. In fact, the word poema is only used twice in the New Testament, and it always refers to God. Here and in Romans chapter 1. It always describes God's creation. He is the one at work. And Paul tells each believer, whoever you are, however old you are, whatever stage you're in, whatever events you're going through in your life, you are God's work of art. He told us in chapter 1, you were chosen by God. Based on absolutely nothing you had done, based on absolutely nothing you would do, God chose you to be His child. You have been redeemed by Christ. You were in the marketplace of slavery, and that word redeem means to purchase someone out of that. And by Christ's death on the cross, you were redeemed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and the Holy Spirit will deliver you to heaven, guaranteed. Paul says we have been empowered to live a life pleasing to Him. In chapter 1, verse 18, you have received power beyond what you can even imagine. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You've been made alive. Spiritually, you were a corpse, but God has breathed life into you. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the two verses that precede the one we're looking at today, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, so that no one can boast." You are God's workmanship. You are God's masterpiece. As God is painting you, and as He is designing you, there are two things He's doing in your life. The first one is an event. The second one is a process. The event is what we call salvation. "For by grace you have been saved." We were sinners. There was absolutely no way we could save ourselves. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we have been saved. God chose us. He redeemed us. He sealed us. It's a one-time for all event. That's part of his painting you as a masterpiece. But there's another part of it. That's what we call sanctification. It's the process. It's the events you're going through in your life today. It's the stage in which you find your life. It's developing as a follower of Christ. It's God putting things in your life to make you more and more like Christ. It's God giving you great joys and great struggles at times to stretch you and mold you and make you His masterpiece, His work of art. Think of that. He loves you so much that not only would He send His Son to die for you, salvation, but the Holy Spirit now is at work within you. And He is making you and molding you into the very person He wants you to be, a hands-on relationship, an intimate relationship that the Holy God has just for you. Let's go on. Paul says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Let's stop there. The believer is God's new creation. Throughout the first section, Paul has reminded us over and over and over again that salvation is not dependent on anything we have done or could ever do, but salvation is dependent on God alone. And just in case we missed it, Paul's going to do it one more time, and he's going to drive a nail home in this truth that salvation is by grace alone. So he says, you are God's workmanship created in Jesus Christ. And that word created is used 14 times in the New Testament. And every time it's used, guess who's doing the creating? God. God is the one at work. It is God's energy. It is God's activity that's happening. He is the one choosing you, saving you, keeping you, delivering you. It's about Him. John Calvin says, you see then that this word create is enough to stop the mouths and put away the cackling of such who boast of having any merit. For when they say so, they presuppose that they were their own creators. And we are not our own creators. It's God who has created us in Christ Jesus. Now here's a question. Every time we go to Scripture and we see a truth, we have to ask the question, so what? What difference is that going to make in my life? Because what God does is practical. We've seen that we're in this process of sanctification. So knowing this truth, what difference is that going to make in my life? That we're God's workmanship, that we've been created in Christ. Well, let's keep reading. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now we emphasize, and well we should, that salvation is by grace alone. Nothing at all you can do. It is all God, none of you. However, if we would stop there at salvation, we've only told half the story. Because God is at work in you to produce something. And that production is going to be seen by all of us in your life. Those are the good works. Good works always accompany a living and active faith. Always. What is one way you can be sure that saving faith resides in your heart? The Bible says good works. As one well-known theologian says, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies is never alone. There's a production of works after faith. Again, that's all grace. We've been saved by grace, but after we've been saved, there's fruit. Or should be. Turn with me to the book of James, beginning in chapter 2, verse 14. James says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? You're a believer? Yeah, I'm a believer. Well, show me some deeds. What do you do in your life? Well, there aren't any. James says, what good is that? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. And if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing at all about his physical needs, what good is that? Go, wish you well, stay cold, stay hungry, I'm going to go my way. What good's that? In verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Good works are a product of living, real, genuine faith. What should good works do in our life? Should they make us look good? Should they cause people to point to us to say what a righteous individual we are? Not according to Scripture. Let's look at some passages here. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 16. He said prior to this, you're the salt of the earth. You're the preserving factor. You're the light. You're what points men and women to Christ. Verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine in such a way that they will see your good deeds and not bring glory to you, but you do them in such a way, produced by a genuine spiritual faith, that God is glorified, not you. Let's look at another one. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped for the work that God has for you? Here it is. This is what the Bible is for. This is why God has revealed Himself to you through His Word, so you could be equipped. Let's look at another one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds, their accusations will be false, and their seeing your good deeds will glorify God on the day He visits us. Peter is saying, live your life in such a way, even though they can accuse you of anything, there is no basis to their accusations, and that gives you a standing to share with them Jesus Christ, so that they also can glorify God on the day He visits us. You see, good deeds are just that. Good. There are some deeds that are not good. We see those all through Scripture. But good deeds are the one produced by the Spirit within us. And they always bring glory to God. They equip us. And they give us the right to share the gospel with others. Now, not only are these deeds good, but back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We see something very interesting, I believe. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good deeds. And these deeds are not haphazard. These are deeds which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that. How do we find out what they are? Often when I talk to teenagers or college students, they're asking, what is the will of God for my life? And when we keep it at that level, it seems pretty mysterious. In fact, I know of people who all their life have been searching to find out what the will of God is. Well, I don't know the specific will of God for your life, but I know the generals. And if we begin with the general will of God, I believe that's where we begin to learn God's specific will. So let's talk about the general will. God has gifted you specifically. He's given you your personality. Remember, you are His work of art. Your personality is His. Yeah, it's a little rough around the corners, but you're just the person He wants you to be. He's put you at a specific place in life. No surprises. He has you right there. He wants you to live for Him in the marketplace, in the community, in the neighborhoods. That's His general will. Now, I said, I don't know His specific will, but I do know three specifics of His will for you. And we'll end with these. Here's the first one. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 13. Paul writes, and we thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but you accepted it as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you accept the word of God for what it actually is? the Word of God. And how can it be at work in you who believe unless you read it? Are you reading the Word of God? I know that is a specific good work that God has prepared in advance for you to do. That's why He's given it to us. That's why we accept it. Not as a word from men, but what it actually is, a word from God. So is that a New Year's resolution that you would keep this year? You're going to find some way to read the Word of God on a continual basis. Because you realize that that 2 Timothy passage, remember, that it's the Word of God that equips you for every good work. How are you going to be ready? How are you going to be equipped for the good work God has for you if you're not spending time in His Word? Answer is, you will not be. Reading the Word of God, specific work God has prepared in advance for you to do. Here's another one, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice always, whatever comes your way. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let people see your good works so they'll glorify God. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Again, I don't know God's specific will for your life, but I know that this is one that you pray. That you communicate with God, that on a regular basis you present your requests to God, that on a regular basis, daily, you talk with God. Just communicate with Him. Sometimes it is in great joy. Sometimes it is in great sorrow. Sometimes you're just a little irritated, as David was in Psalm 13. Why, O God, are you going to forget me forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? God's not going to be surprised. You're His work of art. He's taking you through this situation to stretch you and mold you to the person He wants you to be. Because He has good works prepared for you. He has to get you ready for them. He wants you to pray. He wants you to communicate with Him. Here's one last thing. This is one we don't like, but it's for real. 1 Peter chapter 4. Jesus Christ plainly told us if we're going to live for Him, we are counterculture. And that means we're going to have to take some stands that are not going to be popular in the eyes of the world. It even means we may pay a price for some of those. It even means we may be persecuted for some of those. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Paul says, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. He is preparing you for something. He is causing you to take a stand. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Now, Peter goes on to say, if you're insulted just because you're doing some foolish things, don't rejoice in that. That's your own fault. But if you're taking a stand for Jesus Christ and you're insulted for it, or you're persecuted for it, or it's known to everyone that you're a little different, then don't be surprised at that. You've been transformed. That's a good work God has prepared in advance for you to do, and He's painting His masterpiece in you. Our last one, 2 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 3. Maybe it's been a tough year for you. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you have health situations. Maybe you're discouraged. Listen to what Paul says. Did God turn His head for a moment? Did He neglect you for just a bit? No. That's our promise. As a believer, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. God will comfort us. Now, here's the good work that we can do with that comfort that comes from God, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in their troubles. Let me ask you, if you're going through a terrible marital situation that ends in divorce, who do you want to talk to? You want to talk to someone who has gone through that same situation, and you see how God has preserved them, and you see how God has comforted them. And that same comfort that God has given them flows through them, and they can be an encouragement to you. Who do you want to talk to if you go through a situation where you lose your spouse? Someone who hasn't lost their spouse? I don't. I want to guide people to others who have gone through that, who knows a pain that I can't even imagine, who has lived through that, who has felt a peace from God that I haven't felt in that realm, and who can tell that person, you know, you feel like dying right now, but you're going to make it. God's going to comfort you. God's going to be with you. God's going to see you through this. I know, because I went through that myself. He's going to comfort you. You're God's masterpiece. He makes no mistakes. He never has to erase a brushstroke. He never has to tear up the canvas and start all over. He is putting every color, every part, every piece together. Good works prepared in advance for you to do. And He is painting a beautiful picture. He is painting you a wonderful life. As people look at our lives, our prayer is this. They won't ask, who is that person? Look at those good deeds. Look at those things. Isn't he or she great? That's not the reason we've been saved. But the reason we've been saved is so that people look at us and say, my, who is painting that picture? And you will bring glory to God.
Have you ever wanted to read through the Bible in 1 year? Do you need an engaging, thought-provoking guide to lead you on that quest? Well, that's found in Ron Moore's travelogue titled Journey Through the Bible. Its 365 devotionals take you on an intimate, personal journey through the major scenes of Scripture. It begins with the creation account in Genesis and ends with an uplifting invitation to walk beside Revelation's river of life. Along the road, you'll experience vistas of wonder, discovery, and hope. But best of all, you'll come to know the God of the Bible in a deeper way. Journey Through the Bible is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018.
Christmas time is such a special season to all who belong to Jesus Christ because we know the depth of its meaning, that God came in human form, a little baby destined to take on the sin of the world and rescue every one of us. God's message of hope and love and transformation was foretold for thousands of years, and it's being proclaimed every day right here on the journey. We believe the Bible provides the truth for the most important issues of our day and the most important issues of our life. The very fact that the journey exists in spite of so much opposition around the world is an answer to prayer. And when you choose to support the work that God is doing here, you become a very real, important part of that answer. So, will you please prayerfully consider responding with a generous year-end gift to the journey? Your gift by midnight, December 31st, will help meet very real needs here at the end of the calendar year. So please visit us at ronmoore.org. We would love to partner with you as we make this journey together. Thank you for joining us on the journey.